Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Single setback, Stevenson, he gets the carry, and he fumbles the ball! Turnover early by the Pats. It was an issue last year for Stevenson, and it carries over into 2025. Stevenson, single setback. The runner, and Stevenson stumbles in! Unless he was brought down first, and the Steelers believe they got to him.
I think they have the ball.
And the ball popped free. Peyton Wilson comes out of the pack with it. And this is a bang-bang play. And Pittsburgh has got it.
Ball's out.
Stevenson has fumbled again.
High noon-ish here on Jones and Keith. The Patriots Monday. I and Eagle was struggling. I don't know how they didn't see that.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt wasn't any help?
No, most of the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. I and Eagle at one point teed him up for a T.J. Watt sack, and he just, like, didn't say anything for, like, 30 seconds.
Line?
Yeah. But, no, that was odd to me. Like, they had no clue that ball was out. Like, first of all, it's Ramondre Stevenson. Anytime he's carrying, that thing
should
be on
ready.
The ground.
You should always be ready.
Second of all, just completely and totally lost. Had no clue what was going on.
No, that was a live ball.
But that's not,
get on that.
Not the main issue coming out of the game yesterday, the broadcast, though I didn't love it. No, it's that the Patriots turned it over a bazillion times yesterday, 5-1 to be exact. I asked rhetorically, how do you lose a game where you're +9 in first downs, 26-17? You run more total plays, 22 of them, 71-49. You have 166 more total yards, 369.
Nice.
To 203. By virtue of that, you have more yards per play, 5.2 to 4.1. Every time they lined up, they got a yard plus versus every time Pittsburgh lined up. More passing yards, more rushing yards, fewer penalties, fewer penalty yards. You were +7 minutes in time of possession. How do you lose?
All right.
Because you were undisciplined.
We saw it.
You couldn't hold on to the football. And some of that is a reflection, a lot of it, is a reflection on the head coach. They're too sloppy. They continue to get penalized at a high rate. I know Vrabel doesn't care about that. They turn it over at a high rate. And this will be a big week for Vrabel. Does he send a message to Ramondre, who got to play? He didn't have a touch, but he got to play after his second fumble. He stayed in the game after the first fumble. I didn't have an issue with that. He got to play again after fumble number two on some pretty key plays down the stretch. Mm-hmm. He was out there.
Mm-hmm.
So will a message be sent to him? What about Pop Douglas? Somebody called earlier, might have been Coach right off the top of the show. It's one thing to talk tough. It's another thing to act tough.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Vrabel acts tough with some of these players or if he continues to baby them.
Yeah.
Because so far it hasn't been good enough.
Well, even on the flip side, it's also one thing to talk smart, another thing to play smart. Like, they haven't been. They've had a bunch of penalties in all three of these games. The game they didn't turn it over is the game they win. So to oversimplify things, they just turned it over a million times. So anytime you were having any kind of drive going and or you were set up with great field position because, you know, your defense, after a really slow start, they wake up. They have a stretch where they're getting Pittsburgh off the field, three and out punts, interceptions of their own. They had a nice stretch in the middle of the game, the defense did, but the offense couldn't take advantage of it because they had moved the ball and then turn it over. Like, five turnovers is nearly impossible to overcome. So it's the combination of digging yourself an early hole. You're down 14-0 before you can even really settle in. You turn the ball over five different times. And even with that, you've already turned the ball over four fumbles and a pick. And yet you have the ball down seven. And you're moving it down the field. And on 4th-and-1, your receiver runs a 0-yard route. And then to make up for it, he runs backwards.
Yeah.
So you're like,
And then laughs about it after
right.
the game.
Oh, yeah, then has a good chuckle about it.
Yeah.
But that's what's amazing about it. And it goes to show you how there are so many teams in the NFL that aren't really separated by that much. And so the Steelers aren't very good. They're not. That's not a very good team at all. They carved up the first 2 weeks defensively.
You dominated that team yesterday. Yep. Dominated them, and you still lost.
You gave it to them. And even then, last possession, you had the ball with a chance to go down the field and maybe force overtime, which you had no business being in.
No.
A game where you're that sloppy. And then the penalties were also a factor, too, because the defense didn't play a perfect game. And we could all argue with the Carlton Davis penalty. It was still a penalty there. Or I'm sorry, they called it a penalty. I didn't love that one either. But there was enough dumb stuff early on in the game. So you start the game like fumble, penalties on defense. You're down 7-0. You're like, what was that? Like, that was a horrible start, like the Raider game, where the offense and the defense both get off to really bad starts right off the rip and at home. And you're like, what is this?
So that's how I feel about it. Eventually they adjusted. I guess credit to the coaching staff for adjusting. They sat Ellis down. They got Gibbons in there. And they eventually adjusted and started limiting Pittsburgh on the ground. Were they ready to go?
They did not appear to be.
Pittsburgh gashed the crap out of them to start the game. So what were you looking at all week? What were you doing all week? And I do a lot of questions for Vrabel coming out of the game. I don't feel as good about the quarterback as a lot of people do. We'll get to him. And, of course, the turnovers, starting with Ramondre Stevenson, brutal for the Patriots yesterday. Reminder, football talk on WEEI presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. You can watch your local game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. What do you do with Ramondre, Keith?
So I don't play him next week. I don't cut him. I think that'd be too far because you just saw what he did in week two. So I don't want to ignore how good he was and what we were saying about him last Monday at this time. So I'm keeping him on the team also because Gibson fumbled and these running backs can drop like flies.
And Trevion Henderson can't pass block and isn't really doing much.
Nobody's playing well in the backfield. That's true. But Ramondre Stevenson entered this year with already sort of like a red flag around him or whatever, being like, all right, we got to keep an eye on this. You need to button this up. You fumbled so many times last year. Did you learn from it? Did you do anything differently? Like, have you protected the ball better? Answer, no. So I'm shocked that he came back in the game. I'm with you. Not that he got the ball, but I am shocked that he came back in the game after two fumbles. So I think the easy thing to do would be you have him practice all week. Hopefully he holds on to the ball, but then he's inactive. Just don't play him on Sunday. And depending on how that goes, let's see what Gibson does, what Henderson does, how the weeks of practice do. Maybe he's back for the Buffalo game. I don't know. But I think that's the easiest thing. You send a big, clear message. That's what I would do with Ramondre.
Dice says the five turnovers are one thing. It's the two inside the five that are really frustrating.
I mean, it's so true. I mean, those are so bad because, first of all, the Ramondre one, like he's like going in. Like that was about to be
That's 7 points. That's a tie game.
Yeah.
Coming out of the half after a turn. Rodgers threw just a horrible, horrible pick right to Spillane.
Yeah.
Right and to Spillane, the Pats are in business. They're about to cash in, and he fumbles. I mean, that's 7 points you take off the board right there.
Yeah.
Never mind. You were about to go in right before half to cap off a 17-play drive with Drake May, and he gets it tipped and or doesn't read it right and doesn't put enough air under it. And you have those back-to-back. I mean, those were killers. It's the first time since 78 they had two turnovers inside the opponent's five-yard line in the same game. It's the first time since 08 they had five turnovers in a game.
No, it is true because, like, the first fumble that Ramondre had, not to say that, it's a good turnover. There are no good turnovers. But that one is, you don't really know how that drive was going to turn out. Maybe they score, maybe they punt, maybe whatever. Right. The other two, like, you know, you're like, you're getting minimum 10 points because even if you get stonewalled on that, what ended up being the Drake May interception in the end zone. Say you try running it or it's a couple incomplete passes, like, all right, you have the chance to kick a field goal. Yeah. Or
with this kicker.
No. Or now Pittsburgh has the ball on their own 5 yard line instead of the 20.
Correct.
Right. So that's another big swing in the game.
So I'm with you on Stevenson. You probably can't cut him, but I certainly would sit him down this week. Mike Vrabel has been asked a number of times about Stevenson and his fumbling since the game concluded yesterday. He was asked about it in the offseason as well, but he spoke yesterday after the game. He talked today with the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of that, use the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Vrabel also concluded speaking with the media last hour. Here's what he had to say about getting rid of the fumbling issues with Ramondre Stevenson.
After
a night to ruminate on things and also watch film. Do you have a better idea how you might handle Rhamondre Stevenson and the fumbling issue?
Well, we got to continue to practice the crap out of it. We also have to do a better job of protecting said person with the ball, whether that's the quarterback, whether that's the running back, or the receiver. And we're all responsible for the security of the football, and starts with the person who has it, and then it you know, falls up on the people that are blocking. And you know, again, we'll continue to rep it, and if we have to put two hands on the football, and when we're going through there, that's what we'll have to do. You know, I mean, the only thing I know how to do is to continue to practice it and work it. But then also, you know, maybe it's not so much the person that you see, it's the one you don't see. And there was a few opportunities that we can show them here in a little bit of that. And yes, the person is responsible for taking care of the football. But again, the other people are also have a critical job in ball security.
So he's gone to that answer a lot this year. Like, it's not just about Rhamondre, which, fine, I get it. I mean, you need to keep guys off Rhamondre so they're not in there, you know, grabbing at it, trying to pull the football out. Like, other guys have responsibilities on the play. It feels like he's going way over the top in the excuse making for Rhamondre, and that's not the first time he's done it. He's did that in the offseason, too.
Right.
Before Stevenson even started coughing it up in a game, that's been his go-to defense. It's odd.
Yeah, I don't really get it, because it's not like it's the exchange that's getting fumbled. You can be like, hey, you know, Drake May needs to put it in the right spot or whatever, right? And it's not Will Campbell's problem that Rhamondre can't hold on to the ball. Or even if a player misses a block, let's say, and a linebacker is able to sort of chase down Rhamondre from the side, kind of poke the ball, still your responsibility. Once you have the ball, your job is to hold on to the ball. It's very simple.
It's weird.
Even Rhamondre knows, though. Rhamondre knows. Vrabel doesn't.
So Vrabel said after the game, like, we're going to need him. I'm not sure you do, and I wouldn't give him a uniform this week. I'm with you. You're inactive. Like, they babied him all last year. He was going to get benched for games. He never got benched. Vrabel let him play in the second half after that fumble yesterday. Again, he didn't have a touch, but he was out there for a few snaps in the second half, which was a few too many. So they've already babied him to a degree. It feels like Vrabel's going to baby him even more, and I hate that. Why hasn't Rhamondre Stevenson gotten the – this is something I'll give Bill.
Yeah.
I thought it was crazy when he did it after one touch or one game as a rookie, but Bill would sit these guys down, and I'll give that to Bill. I think he went too far with it in some cases, but I'll give that to him. It's better than – the guy fumbles every week, and you keep rolling him out there. So it is now time to sit this guy down.
How much of Stevenson returning to the game had to do with Gibson just fumbled and Henderson can't block anybody?
Probably some of it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I wonder if Vrabel even said, all right, we're done with Stevenson. And then Josh was like, okay.
I think the
and then you see these other guys out there, and he's like, all right, I guess put it back out there I think the block or something.
I think the message is stronger. I mean, Gibson has had a lot of fumbling issues in his career going back to Washington, but here, he had the one yesterday. He still had half as many as Stevenson yesterday.
Yeah, right.
So I wouldn't, like, sit Gibson down. He had a fumble. And
yeah, clearly you're giving everybody two.
I wouldn't sit Henderson down. Like that to me, I'd go with those guys this week. And Rhamondre, tough. For 1 week, I want to send that message there. Stevenson is saying the right thing. In his defense after the game, Stevenson is saying the right things. This is, again, Rhamondre after the game.
Coach Vrabel was in there talking, we need you. Those are his words. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I appreciate it, but I got to hold on the ball for, you know, to have value and, you know, put value on this team. So if I can't hold the ball, they don't need me.
And you can't really say anything better than that.
Bingo.
Yep, that's the right answer. I appreciate the kind words from the coach, but I need to hold on to the ball to have any value.
So,
agreed.
On the one hand, they need to win this week.
Yeah.
Because it's Buffalo week 5.
Hard to have the old must-win conversation in September, but this would be it. You put yourself in that spot.
So on the one hand, like, I do want all hands on deck because it's important to win.
Yeah.
Are you going to sacrifice to send what I think would be a strong message to the room? And I'd send one to Pop Douglas, too. We're going to get back to him.
That
is an easier one to send. I agree, because he's not giving you anything on the field. Lee Stevenson has made some plays in his career last week, even in this game on Sunday when he wasn't fumbling the ball away. He was making some plays, unlike Pop.
Right.
How do you balance those two this week? I would lean in on it's more important to send the message early in the year in September. As much as I want them to win against Carolina on Sunday, I think you can beat Carolina without Rhamondre, and I'd rather lean in on sending him to the whole team, not just to Stevenson, but to the whole team. That doesn't fly, especially with a guy with 7 fumbles last year. It doesn't fly.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think last year, and I know Vrabel wasn't a part of last year's team, but you have to be aware of what your team or what the players did. Right, like some guys, I think, are going to have a little bit of a longer leash in certain spots than in others because you know what the track record is. And so if you entered this year being like, oh, wow, all of a sudden for this player, ball security is a major issue. So you go in with that. And then game 3, he is one of the reasons why you lose the game.
Yeah.
You're not going to treat it the same as somebody else that maybe had no fumbles.
And also, when Vrabel says we're going to practice the crap out of it, I don't know that I believe that.
Maybe he's going to be like Darnell Jefferson in the program, and he just walks around campus all day long with the ball.
Maybe.
And then if you're in like physics class, they can like bop it out.
Stevenson said after the game, they were asking him what he did for his workouts in the office. He said a heavy ball is what he said.
Maybe lighten the ball.
Do something.
Maybe it's too heavy.
Whatever you're doing, it ain't working.
I don't like that.
But when Vrabel says we're going to continue to practice the crap out of it, I don't believe it.
I have a ton of confidence because it's obviously worked to this point.
You guys were barely in pads.
Yeah.
Barely. So, like, I don't know. Maybe you guys weren't working on it. And I know Stevenson's issues predated you, but I don't believe you've been practicing the crap out of it. I don't believe you're going to continue to practice the crap out of it. I don't really believe that.
No, I don't either. But some of it is, you know, what you're allowed to even do in practices because of the CBA. Like, the two things that they have issues
with. You're allowed to be padded up more than they are.
Yeah, true. But how many times do guys get taken to the ground? And I feel like that's part of it. So there's one thing to be like, oh, you run by and somebody, like, tries to punch the ball out. But sometimes it's also like as you're getting tackled to the ground where it's like that in-between time where that's why they would show the replay. They're like, oh, is this knee down? It's like that time. So just like talking to the team about, oh, you guys stink at tackling. Yeah, we'll practice it. But will you? And it's like you might not. You probably don't. And then like so tackling and then holding onto the ball through contact.
But not everybody is as bad at tackling as you are.
Right.
And not everybody is as bad at holding onto the football.
So some teams figure
out how to practice it a little better than this team seems like they have.
Yes.
So, I mean, Vrabel can say we're going to continue to practice. It doesn't seem like you've been practicing it.
You should start.
I take issue with continue to practice the crap out of it. I'm not sure you have been. 617-779-7937. More of your phone calls there. We'll get back to Vrabel and his job that he's done to this point. Let's get back to Pop Douglas as well. You can get right off the team.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike, I'm just curious what you saw in that final fourth down conversion that was the only one that to not work out today.
Looked like they pressured us, and Drake got the ball out. And again, probably have to just drop step and be able to knife. And you know those are going to be bang-bang plays and try to split them and get the first down. Hard to circle around some defenders. I didn't have the best view of it, so I would say that the decision that Pop made wasn't the right one there, just because we didn't get it right. So got to try to either drop step or make a miss.
You got to either drop step or make a miss, and he did neither.
Or run 3 extra feet. You run 3 extra feet and just get tackled. You have a first down, and that drive continues. And who knows what's going to happen? Maybe you win the game.
Maybe.
But you're not the reason you lose the game.
If they could get to overtime, at least the over would have hit, Keith.
I know. I was actually like rooting. I was like, wait a minute. This could happen. I was so up in arms about all the turnovers in the end zone. I'm like, all right, there goes the over. But then I'm like, wait a minute. Over's still in play. And if they tie it and go to overtime outside of a tie game, you're hitting the over.
The over didn't hit.
It was 44.5.
I still feel like our process was good on
it
that.
It was the right bet.
We had good process. The expected points were high in that game yesterday,
Even Pat's money line people, I think your thought process was in the right spot. They should have won that game.
I mean, they dominated Pittsburgh.
Yes.
They dominated them outside of, and this is a difficult one to brush away, outside of the turnovers.
If they turned it over 4 times, they might win the game. They turned it over five and still
five
it
was, or six.
Yes. And that's what's where it really gets me too is you turn it over five times, but it wasn't like one of the turnovers was, you know, a Hail Mary at the end of the game and like that was your No. You were moving the ball down the field. You just got stopped on downs on the final possession. That was it. And man, that play should have been made. I don't know if you go on to win the game or score or whatever, but that drive should have continued. That was maddening.
You win the toss, you start with the ball, fumble. You have the interception.
Which at that point, maybe we should have known.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was like, here we go, guys. This is the rest of the game.
They went, they're like, let's start on offense. Yeah. Win the toss. Start with the ball. Yeah. Three plays later, fumble.
Awesome.
They have a 17-play, 92-yard drive going into halftime. Drake May, pick. Oh, but it was tipped. Who cares?
Yep.
They went fumble to start the second half after an Aaron Rodgers interception.
Which was a horrible interception.
Ramondre, two plays later, going into the end zone, fumble. And then Drake on the next drive, fumble. And then you had, I'm sorry, or was that Gibson fumble?
Yeah, which was Gibson, and then Drake.
And then May was the fourth quarter fumble. I apologize.
Awesome.
Too many to keep track of.
Sandwiched in there, though, you also have that Pop Douglas play, which we're not cutting Ramondre Stevenson. We'll take his uniform this week. You're inactive. Yep. Pop Douglas, you're off the team.
You got to go. He's already the fourth receiver on the team right now, and that is probably generous. You know, I think Kyle Williams could pass him by in the high-speed lane. And I think Efton Chisholm, people are even like, all right, maybe Efton Chisholm on that exact same play. Does he pick up the first down?
Well, so a lot of people have pointed this out. I don't know that I need Efton Chisholm on the field a crap ton, but what was the one thing that Vrabel talked up about Chisholm all offseason? Play strength. Pop Douglas has zero play strength. He has zero ability to break a run through a tackle, maybe make a guy miss.
There's no awareness.
But
either.
Go through any contact, yeah. No awareness. Yeah. I mean, the one thing Vrabel consistently said after every preseason game when Efton Chisholm was out there making plays, play strength. And yeah, you want to throw some IQ on top of it. I don't know if we know that answer with him yet, but I don't think he's coming up short of the sticks. I don't think a lot of guys are coming up short of the sticks. Just this guy.
Yeah, no, that was wild, and I couldn't help but think, you know, this weekend Julian Edelman goes into the team Hall of Fame, and like those plays, even if he ran the route a little short, he would catch it and dart forward, and the defenders could, even if there's two defenders on him, like how many times could you remember a play where Edelman would pick up a first down just like that,
yeah. And
not run the wrong way, run it short. And then run the wrong way. It's not like it was fourth and eight and you ran it to 7 yards because of a timing thing. You needed a yard. You needed a yard. You couldn't even get the yard. And then he tried making a miss by going backwards.
So, look, I didn't like a lot of the fourth down play calls yesterday.
They got away with a few, I thought.
The irony was they were 4-for-4 on fourth down going into that drive.
Fourth and one on your own 15 is wild.
So,
and I love it, but it's wild.
I didn't necessarily hate going for it because it did feel like they were dead and lifeless.
Yes.
But I hated the play call. Why are we pitching it behind the line of scrimmage? They did that again on a later fourth down conversion. They also threw short of the sticks to Pop Douglas on that play. So I don't like the play design play call from McDaniel. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
But almost all of my blame, short of my annoyance about the play design there, almost all of my blame for that is on Pop Douglas.
Yeah, the last play I put entirely on Pop because, you know, you could be like, oh, what about McDaniels? It's like, well, not everybody on that route ran 1 yard, right? It wasn't like he's like, hey, everybody go short. He was the only guy, I believe, of the eligible receivers, I guess they, depending on whatever the back was doing, that was like short of the first down. Drake May put it right on him.
Yeah,
put it right on him. And you're like, all right, so if he was a yard further down the field, he would have put it right on him there. And or at the very least, you say, all right, make a great play. Make a guy miss. Don't run away. Don't run back towards the other end zone.
Dive forward. I mean, easy for me to say. I'm not going to get hit, but like you were right there.
No,
just squirt forward, knife forward. Yeah. As Vrabel said, you have the first down and you live to play another play.
And it's funny because earlier in the game, there was a couple of times, and Pop Douglas played the fourth most snaps among receivers, but there were a few plays where Drake May did target him, and you're like, these guys
are not on the same page.
No, you have a connection.
You brought this up. It's a great observation. They have no chemistry.
None.
And then outside of all of that, give me your stat. Can you go back to the Rich Keefe stats and info department? Give me your stat again, because this maybe is the more egregious thing for Josh McDaniels. Why are we running plays for Pop effing Douglas at the end of these games? Never mind short of the sticks. Just why are you running it to this guy when you hear this stat from Rich Keefe stats and info?
There are currently 174 players in the NFL who have more yards on a single catch than Pop Douglas has total in three games.
So the first time you read that an hour or so ago, 2 hours ago, I thought you were just saying on
have more receiving yards than him? No.
No. I thought you were just saying they had longer catches than he's had. No. They've had one longer catch than he has yards all season.
Meaning 174 players have at least a 14-yard catch. Many have more than one.
Yeah.
He is stuck on 13 total yards through three games.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so I didn't like Douglas's awareness or lack thereof on the field.
There's no awareness.
I don't know that that's what gets him cut. This after the game is what put me over the top personally for moving on entirely. Separate entirely from Pop Douglas. Here's the exchange.
Fourth down play, is that designed for you to get to the sticks or is that designed to go before and make a play?
It was a play. It wasn't designed for anything. It was just...
Did you think you were at the first down?
Not.
Or you didn't know what
you were? Yeah, I was somewhere by it. I know I was somewhere by it because we only had 2 yards.
So you knew you probably had to make a play, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
facts.
Yeah, big facts.
So I don't know if this is a week that the afternoon show talks to Josh McDaniels, but it'd be a great question to ask him. Do you design plays? Are plays even designed? Yeah. And if so, what was the last one designed
for? It was just a play. There was no design.
Just a play.
Yeah, it was just a play.
So you just everybody just ran wherever they wanted?
Yeah.
Or did somebody actually design the play? And were you aware that it was 4th-and-1 and the game was on the line? And then he decided to run short.
Honestly, good question.
He may not know.
Did you know what down it was?
Maybe he doesn't.
He might not.
Maybe he thought they won. Should we follow up Pop Douglas?
Facts.
Big facts.
Does Pop Douglas know they lost? I'm not trying to be funny. Like, does he know that? Maybe not.
Pop, were you aware it was 4th-down?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought we were getting facts.
I didn't know which one you wanted.
I was about to give it to him.
They both work.
Yeah, they both work. Either way, it works.
So that's tough. That's tough. But he's been getting phased out anyway.
I also, though, he's asked, did you know you were close to the first down? He's like, well, I knew I was somewhere around it. It's like, that should be something you definitively know.
Yeah.
Are you at the sticks? Orlovsky highlighted this last night on Twitter. You know, where he lined up before the play. And you said this, Keith. He can't be right on the ball. He can't be right on the line of scrimmage. But he doesn't have to be 2 yards off either.
Right.
And if you start 1 yard closer than where he lined up,
that's the difference.
You're 1 yard past the first down, you have the first down. So some of it might be his lack of awareness pre-snap. Never mind once he gets the ball in his hands. Never mind if he even knew it was 4th-down. So yeah, that to me, plus the laughing on top of it, like, oh, we lost the game. Ha ha.
Yeah.
That to me is why I'd cut him.
They don't know what the f they're doing. No.
I'd move on. That'd send a big time message. It would also allow for Kyle Williams to play more. Let's see what we got at Kyle Williams. You got an opportunity in there, made a grab. You're already playing Booty, Diggs, and Mac Hollins more than Pop Douglas. You run a lot of, you got a tight end or two on the field. You have a back or two, although that number might be coming down. But, like, you don't play 3-4 wide receivers at a time anyway that often. So, no, I think that'd be a big-time message. At the very least, you got to make him inactive next week like Ramondre. That'd be the minimum. If they did that, I'd be like, all right, they're at least doing something.
After listening to Vrabel, I'm not sure they're going to send any message to Ramondre. I bet Pop doesn't get a uniform if he's even on the team. And he should.
You think so?
He shouldn't. Yeah.
Okay, I hope you're right, but I don't know. This is a new time for...
It's a big week for Vrabel.
We don't know what Vrabel's going to do with this. Last year, as much as we clowned on Mayo and Wolf and everybody... They eventually started to remove some of those receivers. Because remember, every receiver thought they were the best. They all thought they should play. They all thought they were all pro.
Yeah, this guy last year was like, guys, I'm open. Pop on the tape.
Yeah. Right, like, you were the face of the worst receiving room in the league last year. But no, but like, remember like Rager and Thornton? Like, they eventually started to move guys around. This year, you know, Jalen Polk was hurt, but they did trade him. So he's gone. But what about this? This is a different situation right now.
Yeah. Henry is in Canton. We were just talking about Vrabel. Go ahead, Henry.
Yeah, what Mayo record was last year about this time?
He was 1-2.
Same as Vrabel.
Yes, sir.
And then Mayo, they wouldn't let him spend no money, and Vrabel don't spend about $100 million. And
true.
I don't understand that. I mean, sometimes we got to talk about Vrabel.
I agree.
I think we've been talking about
Vrabel. It's a bad start. The team was supposed to be way more like professional, right? Like less penalties, less turnovers. And even if they didn't have a ton of talent, and I get Henry's point, you know, Mayo didn't have the Milton Williams, Carlton Davis, Steph Diggs free agency. Vrabel did. So Vrabel should win more games than Mayo. And right now he's off to the exact same start.
And Vrabel decided to cut Jabril Peppers, who, trust me, I don't miss. Mm-hmm. Peppers is out there, strip sack yesterday. So, you know, you can look at Vrabel for some of the decisions. I said this after the Raiders game week one. I feel the same way after this week. I was shocked at how undisciplined they were against the Raiders. And I said, I wonder how much – I'm not saying he's Mayo, but I'm shocked at how similar they look. So Vrabel might be a hell of a lot closer to Mayo than we ever thought. He could be a lot closer to Mayo than we – I think he's a better coach.
Yeah, I think so.
But based on what we've seen through 3 weeks, there hasn't been any improvement in the head coaching department. In fact, this head coach came in and he's like, yeah, penalties don't even matter. And then his team comes out and gets penalized through the nose to start that game yesterday, and I'm not surprised there's correlation there. Mark is in New Hampshire. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hey, guys. Just got out of the gym. Today was Max Day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh,
I just want to comment real quick on Drake May. I wonder, is he Ryan Mallett or is he going to be Josh Allen? Because they will both throw the ball, you know, 70 yards. There's no doubt about that. But he doesn't seem to exercise good judgment in critical moments.
Yeah, I don't think yesterday was a great day for May. I think big picture, he is way down the list of my concerns based on everything else going on with the team. But I wanted more out of him yesterday.
Yeah, I did too. I hold him to a higher standard maybe than most because everybody was making excuses for the tipped interception. I thought if he threw that up and over the defender, both defenders, it would have been a touchdown in the back of the end zone to Kayshon Booty. So, yeah, I don't think he's probably not going to be either one of those quarterbacks, honestly. Like, I don't think he's going to be Josh Allen. I think he's going to be a perennial league MVP.
He's not going to be Mallett.
Yeah, and like, yeah, rest in peace, Ryan Mallett. But I already feel like Drake May is more comfortable playing the position, and he runs better than Mallett did. Yeah, Mallett had like a rocket for an arm, but I already feel like Drake May is beyond that point. But no, I thought he had a great game in week two, and overall, he did have a lot of good in this game. I just think that two or three bad plays kind of outweigh all the great stuff that he did. And so he's right there in it. Just, Ramondre gets more blame. Pop Douglas on that last play gets a ton of blame. But Drake May turned it over a couple of times.
He was the third poop. Yeah, he only got the one poop.
Right.
Yeah.
I do my three turds
three
of the game.
There it is, three turds. Yeah,
turds of the game.
Yeah, he was on the list.
He didn't have three turds. That was Ramondre. Two turds was Pop. One turd was Drake.
One. Yeah. Okay.
Pretty easy.
People are happy we didn't give that guy a brag of the week. So you guys, we didn't want to give him what he wanted there. Okay, I was waiting for it.
Andy Hart's pissed that we didn't ask him what his max was. He's like, come on, how much was that guy left? How much is that guy left?
Yeah.
I wanted to hear that.
617-779-7937. We got more of your phone calls coming up. We can get back to Mike Vrabel as well. Your thoughts doesn't seem very different than Jerod Mayo 3 weeks in. I'd agree with that last caller. I will do it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But Mike, and the interception, you know, turnovers are always a killer, right? And especially when they lead to points or they take away points. The Drake May interception at the end of the half, should that have been a back pylon throw?
It shouldn't have been a flat one. You know what I mean? Obviously, just having an idea of where that guy is and being able to put some air in it. You know, and I think that those are things we have to be able to see and. Again, get the spacing that we need and be able to keep it out of harm's way.
To end a half like that for Drake and come back out and not spiral, I think a lot of fans find that impressive from him, from a young quarterback. Do you see that the mental game is there for Drake, that if he has a bad pass, if he has an interception, that you don't see him spiral out there? Right. He continues to fight.
And again, those are good qualities. We just can't keep testing it over and over and over again. But I do appreciate the resiliency of him and this football team and our ability to continue to fight and continue to stay in it and compete. And it just has to be cleaner so that we're not always in that situation.
There's one guy Mike Vrabel doesn't baby, and it's Drake Maye. And honestly, that I like. We can read into that answer, and is he trying to draw more out of Maye by not making excuses and developing Drake Maye? Is he frustrated with Maye more so than some of the other? Like, we can read into it, but I think one safe takeaway, we don't know if Vrabel's going to baby Ramondre. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
He already has. We don't know if he's going to baby Pop Douglas. He has with Will Campbell. He has with the kicker. Like, he's babied a lot of players on this roster. Drake Maye is one that he definitively doesn't do that for. Like, he had an opportunity there to make some excuses, and he's like, well, yeah, we can't keep putting ourselves in the same spot, which I agree with Vrabel on that 100%.
Yeah, and this goes back to Vrabel's experience in the league and coaching different players, and you have to wonder, now that he knows everybody, does he feel like this is the best way for me to coach Drake Maye versus, hey, maybe this is the best way for me to coach up Andy Borregales, right? Like, it's a lot easier for you and I to be like, all right, two missed extra points. Like, see ya, dude. Like, find somebody else. But he's like, all right, they drafted him for a reason. They feel like he could be good. And he's like, all right, I'm going to have to give him a game ball after he makes a field goal, you know, and kind of coach him up that way and kind of coddle him a little bit. And then you hope 5, 6, 7 weeks down the line, you're like, all right, that paid off. Meanwhile, Drake Maye, you might think, all right, if I hype the guy up and give him too many excuses, maybe that won't be what's best for him, and maybe he'll sort of start to take the easy way out or whatever else. So, I don't know. It's early. It hasn't looked great. They're 1-2, but this is what you got to do. This is your first year as a head coach with a team that's pretty young, and you're trying to establish a bunch of players.
So, do we want to give Vrabel credit for, like, big-braining it and developing Drake Maye and tough love?
TBD.
Or do you think some of that is just he's speaking frankly because the quarterback can't turn it over the way he turns it over?
Well, no, but we see you see it way more in the NBA, how coaches talk about their star players, but you even see it in the NFL with how guys talk about, like, their star players and their quarterbacks. Like, usually it's a lot easier to be like, this guy's great, and you know, blame other things around it or officiating or whatever else. So no, I respect the way that he's handling Drake Maye right now.
So I'd give him a check mark for that too.
No.
And again, I would say yesterday wasn't good enough from Maye, but overall, I do feel pretty good about the direction of Maye under Vrabel and McDaniels. It's not perfect. They got to get the turnovers out of him. Like, that's a big issue with him, and you got to clean that up. But I like how they're running him. I was afraid they wouldn't do that. Maye is making flash plays every week. He's got to be more consistent, but I feel good about the overall trajectory there. That said, it still wasn't good enough yesterday. You shouldn't be losing to Pittsburgh, who is an atrocious defense. And look, I mean, they dominated them, quote-unquote, in a lot of categories outside turnovers yesterday. They still only put up 14 points on the board yesterday, and that's not good enough. If we're going to sit here and praise the quarterback, that ain't good enough.
No.
On Vrabel, though, I do have a lot of gripes. The biggest one continues to be, I thought they would be a professional, buttoned-up outfit, and they're the total opposite, which I remain floored by. I wasn't super high on hiring Vrabel. Neither were you, Keith. I don't think we thought he was a bad hire, but
no,
there were other candidates I preferred. I wanted, like, an offensive whiz kid, Ben Johnson, even Liam Cohen type of hire is what I wanted, and they didn't do that. So we'll see how it plays out. But through 3 weeks, one thing I thought Vrabel would have going for him is he's done it before. They'd be professional. They'd be dialed in on the details, and they're anything but. Like, they're exceptionally sloppy on the details, which I'm surprised at with him.
Yeah, I am too. I thought it would be cleaner so far than it's been because he said all the right things early on, and you're like, all right. And if he had success with a Ryan Tannehill-led Titans team, you're like, all right, I think this guy might be the right guy to move this team forward. Again, not my first choice, but somebody that could still have a lot of success. And it's also puzzling too is in their two losses, just like the bad starts, like the offense and the defense weren't ready to go.
No, great,
like,
point.
Like, what is this?
The Raiders marched down the field on two. The Patriots eventually got a turnover on the Raiders' second drive.
Yeah,
but the Raiders marched down the field on two drives, and the same thing happened against Pittsburgh.
We're like, both home games too.
Weird.
You've been harping on that, like, just overall, you can't blame Vrabel for this, but even the last few years, like, they don't win a lot of home games, but you're like, you're all fired up. It's the first season with Mike Vrabel, and this new era begins. Bad start by the offense and the defense against Vegas. Bad start by the offense and the defense against Pittsburgh.
And on the other hand, you could look at it either way. You could say they could be 3-0, they could be 0-3. I mean, you could play that game both ways. they played nobody. Mm. I mean, the Raiders are trash. If that hasn't been hammered home, look at what happened yesterday to the Raiders. Miami, I'm surprised, didn't fire Mike McDaniel, yeah. rather. And Pittsburgh's no good. I think you saw Pittsburgh wasn't a good team yesterday. They beat you. Pats had no business winning the game because of the turnovers, but they dominated everywhere else. Pittsburgh's not good. I wouldn't change my stance on that. Carolina's not good. They played nobody. And they're 1-2 with two losses at home, and they never win back-to-back games. And that you don't have much more time to turn that around before we're teetering into lost season territory. It's Carolina this week, and then it's Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not getting any easier. Mm-hmm. 617-779-7937. You can discuss there. More on Drake May as well. Is he doing enough? How do you feel about the young quarterback now through 3 weeks, plus the debut season last year? We'll get to all of that with your feedback next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.